Father, Lord, as always, Lord, bless the word of the Lord in our lives, the entrance thereof. Let it bring light into our hearts and understanding to the simple. In the name of Jesus, let the Holy Spirit move over the hearts of all your people, beginning with me today, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, put your hands together for the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. Amen.
In the word of the Lord, Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19. Remember ye not the former things? This is not a question. It's not saying, do you remember the former? No, it's not a question. It's telling you, forget the former things. Neither consider the things of old. Now, I'm going to tell you some former things that we need to forget today. Behold, I will do a new thing. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Now, shall it not spring forth? Shall you not even perceive it? Shall you not even know it? Behold, I will make even a way in the wilderness. I'm going to tell you some things that are new this morning. A way in the wilderness when the wilderness has no way. Now, that's new. Rivers in the desert when the desert has no rivers. That's new. I will even make a way in the wilderness. And I will even make rivers in the desert. Hallelujah. God is in the business. See, the Lord loves this thing of making something new. He loves it. Even from the beginning, we saw how he created the heaven and the earth. But the earth was without form and was void. And there was chaos, darkness all over the place. And when the Holy Spirit moved, see, the Holy Spirit must move for there to be something new. Are you with me here this morning? Are you ready to experience the moving of the Holy Spirit? You know, some of us just come to church. I mean, we come like we always come. It's Sunday. Put on your church clothes. Go to church. Well, I got news for you. This will be something new. And beginning from now, God wants to do something new for you. So don't just come to church. That's old status quo. We come to church. What do you expect when you come to church? Well, we have a routine here at GMI Church. A routine. When we come to church, some people come early. Part of our routine is to come late. That's part of our routine. We come late. We come early. You know, when we get here, well, we do the prayer thing. Well, we do the review thing. Well, we do the praise thing. Then we do the preaching thing. And then we do whatever else. And then we close. Well, it's time for the Holy Ghost to shake things up. Amen. Now, some people don't like things to be shaken up. They just like things the old way. Everything must be the way it used to be. Well, God said, behold, I do a new thing. Amen. A new thing. You know, and I have come to tell you about it today. Because the Lord said, well, before I bring it to pass, I tell you. You know, and shall you not know it? So, he loves to do new things. And throughout the Bible, fast forward to Revelation 21. In Revelation 21, verses 1 to 5, this is the end of it all. He has been doing it, and this is the end of it all. And he says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Verse 2. Let's go through verses 2 to 5 quickly. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. That's new. And he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and he shall be their God. Hallelujah. And God shall wipe away all tears. You know, well, there's coming a time when there will be no more tears in the eyes of God's people. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. Now, you may be in pain. You may be here or even listening to this, you may be in pain. But there's coming a time when the former things shall be passed away. You know, but before we get there, and listen to verse 5. You know, we're going to read verse 5 of this, and here's where we're going to spring off. Go to Revelation 21, verse 5. And he that sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, all things, well, if you want to be made new today, there's such a thing that's called a Holy Ghost makeover. Hallelujah. A Holy Ghost makeover. And I want to tell you a story in the Bible. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 18, we're going to consider verses 1 to 4. The Lord said to Jeremiah, he said, "Go down to the potter's house," verse 2. "And when you get there, I will cause you to hear my words." And then when he got to the potter's house, he saw the potter. He said, "Behold, I went down to the potter's house, and behold, the potter was doing pottery." He's doing his thing. He's making pottery. He wrought a work, you know, as he used to do. But the vessel that he made of clay was marred, that's like messed up, in the hand of the potter. As he was making the clay, it was messed up. He was making, now this potter, he's a skilled man. He knows how to make the clay. He knows how to make pottery. You know, he knows how to do his thing. But as he was making this thing, the thing just got messed up. It got bent out of shape. So he made it again. Another vessel. Even as it seemed good to the potter to make it. Can somebody say amen? This is what is called a Holy Ghost makeover. When things look like they are messed up, God can make it new again. Amen. Now, so I am going to be talking about some things here this morning. You know. But if you're satisfied with the status quo, you may not get anything out of this message. There was a man that was not satisfied with the status quo. His name was Gideon. And we see in the book of Judges, chapter 6, verses 11 to 13. We are told that an angel, you know, visited Gideon while he was threshing wheat. Of course, they were threshing wheat in hiding from the Midianites. You know, they were hiding from the Midianites. So in verse 12, this angel, go to verse 12. The angel appeared unto him and said unto him, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." Now, this was the angel. This wasn't Gideon saying that I'm a mighty man of valor. In fact, Gideon didn't even think that he was anything. You know, but the angel said, "You are a mighty man of valor." So Gideon said this, look. Gideon said to the angel, "Oh my Lord, if the Lord be with us," because he said the Lord is with you. So, well, okay. "So if the Lord be with us, why then is all these things befalling us? And where then be all these miracles we have heard, we have read it, and so forth, all the great things God did in Egypt and so forth, and all the things he did in the land of Canaan before they got there and everything? You know, why are we under oppression of the Midianites if the Lord be with us?" This man was not satisfied with the status quo. If the Lord be with us, why are we going through this stuff? If the Lord be with us, you know, he said, look, you know, where are all those things which we have heard? And then the Lord looked at him, you know, through the angel and said, wow. You know. He said, look, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us. Delivered us in the hands of this Midianite. I mean, it looks like, you know. And the Lord saw some fire in this man. The Lord said unto him, he said, look, go to the next verse. He said, the Lord looked upon him and said, to go in this thy mind. He saw fire. He saw that this man wanted something new. Something more than the status quo. You know, well, this is the way things have always been. People say, this is the way things have always been. This is what God, you know, if God were to shake things up a little bit, people would get upset. Even in this church. If God were to shake things up a little bit, take over the service, turn everything upside down, slay everybody on the floor, people would get upset. Because we're so used to things being a certain way. Behold, I make a new thing. A new thing. The Lord said to Jeremiah, in Jeremiah 33 and verse 3, the Lord said, call unto me, and I will show thee great and mighty things which you do not know. Amen, somebody. Call unto me, I will show you great and mighty things. Now, as an individual and as a church, we need God to show us something new. Well, me personally, I want something new. Amen. We need something new. No matter what has been, we need to experience what is yet to be. Let me say that to you again. No matter what has been, we need to experience what is yet to be. And I want to experience that now. Hallelujah. You know, when we were teaching when I was doing the wisdom series, I talked about, you know, the law of yesterday. You got to leave that yesterday behind in order for you to move forward. I want to tell every one of us that's in here today and those that are listening that you are standing on the edge of tomorrow. You are also standing on the edge of infinite possibilities. Because all things are possible to him that believeth. Amen. Now, some stories in the Bible about people that experience great things from the Lord, but then want something new. They still wanted more. Hallelujah. You know, I don't know what we've experienced in this church. It's been great. The Lord's been good to us. But I want something new. I want something more. Do you? Praise God. Well, we'll find out if you do here in a minute, you know, when we go through these stories. The first one that I want to talk about, one of my favorite characters in that Bible, very little is written of him. His name is Enoch. Enoch walked with God. In the book of Genesis, chapter 5, verses 21 to 24, we're told that Enoch was 65 years old when he begat Methuselah. And after that, he lived. Go on to the next verse quickly. Verses 21 to 24 is what we're going to read. Just go through the next verses quickly. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years. Can you imagine walking with God for 300? You cannot walk with God, folks, unless two of you be agreed. How many of you know that two cannot walk together except they be agreed? Hello? Two cannot walk together except they be agreed. And it's not God that's going to agree with you. You must agree with God. Hallelujah. People are trying to make God do their stuff. No, that's not how he works. He is the Lord. He says, and we do. That's it. You know. Now, Enoch walked with God 300 years. He begat sons and daughters. Now, having children did not prevent him from walking with God, folks. Some of you have children and then you are so overwhelmed. You can't even come to church. You do all of these things and so forth. You know. This man walked with God for 300 years. He was having sons and daughters, but he was still walking with God. Amen. But in spite of all that walking with God, he was not satisfied until he experienced something new. Something new in that Bible which none of the six generations before him had experienced. To be translated that he should not see death. That was something new. Everyone died before him. He overlapped some, and all of them, all those people after him were dying. So he had never, there was nobody that told him that it was impossible, I mean, it was possible for you to just not die. Because everybody was dying. Today, we had this message of, you know, he's appointed unto men wants to die. We hear this all over the place. Man. And, you know, I just think in my heart, you know, people don't even understand the scriptures nor the power of God. Amen. Jesus said, you know neither the scriptures nor the power of God. Hallelujah. This man, he wanted something new. After walking 300 years with God, he still wanted something new. Now, we don't know that anybody walked with God before Enoch. It was not recorded. But this man, maybe Adam, for a little bit before he fell, you know, certainly did walk with God, you know. But, you know, this man, he wanted something new. After 300 years, he still wanted something new. He kept pressing it. He kept wanting something new. And finally, he was translated. Hallelujah. Translated that he should not see death. God left that witness there. Translated that he should not see death. Praise the Lord. Noah also walk with God. He found grace in the eyes of God. His own walk with God was not quite like Enoch's. He did not quite experience, you know, all of the things that Enoch experienced. But he did walk with God. But he also, you know, finding grace inside of God and doing all of those things and so forth, you know, and God and picking him to save his family when others will be destroyed, you know. But he experienced something new. For Noah to command all the animals. Now, you have to imagine that, folks. Command all the animals. The lion, the hyena, the cheetah, the cougar, the tiger, with the lamb and the sheep and the chicken and all of these things. You know, I mean, all these animals that prey on others, they are all there together. Enoch commanded all of them. Now, that was something new. That was something new. And he gave them command. Come in here, two by two. No, I only want two. And he brought them in, two by two. Sit over there. No roaring, no frightening of the other animals. Behave yourself. You know, and over here, you know, and, you know, he just controlled the whole animal territory. That was something new. Amen. Now, you may not think that it was something new, but it was something new. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire. That was something. These were children in whom there was no blemish to start with anyway. You know, they were skilled in the sciences and knowledge and so forth. We covered that when we did the wisdom series. But they went on to experience something new. They went on to experience Isaiah 43 and verse 2 that says, when you pass through the fire, it will not even burn you. Amen. That was something new. It was something new for them. Daniel, the last then, he was a man that knew God, that followed God. In fact, you know, the Lord used to talk about him. You know, he said, even though Daniel, Job, and Noah be there, they cannot save the generation except save themselves, you know. After all of that, yet he experienced something new. We'd never heard that somebody was thrown in the lion's den before then and came out alive. We never heard it, but he experienced something new. Praise the Lord. Moses, I'm going through this very quickly, but we're going to get to the bottom part of this ministration. Moses, I mean, there's a lot of things that he experienced. There was a lot of new things that he experienced while he was in Egypt. was able to do creative miracles. He was able to do all kinds of things and so forth. But when he came to his Red Sea moment, and every one of you, some of you have had some of those Red Sea moments. Some of you are going through that now. You know, if not, you're going to go through it. You're going to have those Red Sea moments where you're going to come up against something that seems that you cannot overcome, despite all of the great things that the Lord has already done. But you are going to think that this one, you can't overcome it. Because who ever heard of such a thing that you pass, you know, part the Red Sea, you know? No such thing. The Lord had showed him a few miracles through the rod and things like that. He knew he could do something. So when he got to the Red Sea, he cried unto the Lord because it was something he didn't think he could do it. Hallelujah. The parting of the Red Sea, that was something new. And the children of Israel going through on dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do, were drowned. Now, some people say, well, you know, it was really ankle-deep water. You know, they didn't really go through. The Bible says the waters were heaped up on every side. Well, if it was ankle-deep, how come all the chariots drowned in the ankle-deep water? Amen? It wasn't ankle-deep water, folks. You know, we're talking of deep sea. God piled the water up on either side like this, made a huge wall. That was something new for them to go through that like that. Wow. Let's talk about Elijah. Elijah was a man that walked with God. In fact, he said to, you know, Ahab, you know, and the rest of the people, you know, in his generation, he said, look, he would say things like this: the Lord, before whom I stand. And we say there will be no rain. He would just say, you know. And he walked with God. He was standing before God. He was a man of God, you know. And he knew the word of God. He knew the voice of God. But for him to go in the chariots of fire, that was something new. Hello, somebody. For him to go in the chariots of fire, that was something new. Well, let's talk about the disciples. Begin to bring it home now. You say, well, all that stuff was in the Old Testament. Well, let's talk about the disciples in the New Testament, you know, read the account that was written of them in the New Testament. These disciples, they walked with Jesus, the 12 of them, the 70 of them, many of them, they went out, they cast out devils, they did all these things. Jesus gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out. And he said, behold, I give you power over all unclean spirits. Luke 10 and 19, authority over the devil, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Amen. You know. And they did all of that. But I tell you something. On the day of Pentecost, they all experienced something new. When the cloud, tongues of fire, ushered in by a mighty rushing wind, split the atmosphere and sat upon each of them like that. That was something new. It was so new that everybody that came from everywhere, they said, what is this? That was something new. Amen. I'm reminded of a song that says, you know, when the day of Pentecost was come, they were in the upper room with one accord. They gathered together 120 to receive the power that was promised to come. The Holy Ghost fell upon each one as the Spirit gave to each. They spoke with tongues. Jews that came in from everywhere, they couldn't understand what was happening up there. Peter stood in the midst of the crowd. He spoke with his voice and he said it aloud. He said, this is that spoken by the prophet Joel, that in the last days my Spirit I pour, not only on me, but also on you. Every child of God that wants can get it too. Hallelujah. I've got it. I've got it. Something by the power of the Holy Ghost. I can't explain it, but I got it. You got it? That was something new. This Peter, who before that could not witness, before even a maid denied Christ, before a maid, what in the world was a maid going to do to him? Just a maid, a housemaid. What is she going to do?
But it could have been a housemaid, or it could have been, you know, a young person or whatever.
What are they going to do to them? But this same Peter, after he experienced something new, he stood up.
Hallelujah. And he told them all, Peter, this same Jesus, whom ye crucified,
indicted all of them. God
has made him to be Lord of all.
3,000 souls
gave their lives to Christ. That was something new. Amen.
Now let's talk about Philip. In the book of Acts chapter 8. Now this was not Philip the apostle. This was Philip the deacon that was appointed with and five others to serve tables. You know, because the apostle said, well, we can't do that. We got to face the ministration of the word. So you appoint to yourself some of these people, you know, and so forth. But make sure they have the Holy Ghost. Well, Stephen, Philip, he had the Holy Ghost. Philip went down to Samaria, and he did great miracles. The whole city crying out, and so forth. Seeing the miracles that he did, joy in that city, Samaria. But when he went down, when the Holy Ghost told him, leave all that alone. Go down over here to the bush. You know? Now, for you to experience something new, it has to be preceded by obedience. Let me say that to you again. For you to experience something new, even today, it has to be preceded by obedience. Now, there was great revival in that city. Demons crying out, people jumping out, all kinds of things happening. And Holy Ghost told him, leave all that alone and go into the bush. You know, many of us will have been rebuking that voice. Say, no, that's not the voice of the Lord. How can I? But he obeyed and he went to the desert. Of course, you know the story with the eunuch and all of that, you know, from Ethiopia. That's how gospel came, I believe, to Africa and all that. But at the end of it, in the book of Acts chapter 8, from verses 39 to 40, after Philip baptized the man and so forth, explained to him, you know, the lessons that he was reading in Isaiah 53 and so on, you know. After all of that, the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord cut away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more and went in his way rejoicing. And the next verse said, you know, and Philip was found in some other city. Show me. Philip was found in Azotus, some place. Who knows how many hundreds of miles it was. And he passing through all the city, he experienced bodily transportation. Peter, James, John, and all these other people who are apostles before him. Remember, he was just a deacon. You know, they couldn't even claim. Of course, well, they were all bodily transported at one time when they were in the boat with Jesus. And the Bible says, and immediately the boat was on the other land, on the other side. We know that. But this man, he experienced bodily transportation. That was something new. Praise the Lord. Now, Peter, in Acts chapter 12, Bible says that Herod, having taken a hold of James and killed him, and he saw that that pleased the people, he did the same thing to Peter, put him in prison, you know, to bring him out after the feast and to kill him, you know, just like he did James. But Peter experienced something new. Hallelujah. Because the church were praying. See, the first one called them of God. But after that, they were praying. And right around midnight or so, you can read the story in Acts chapter 12, verses 6 to 9. After Peter was in the jail, you know, and so forth. You know, now this was the great Peter preached to thousands of people and all of that, and so on. You know, but today he's going to experience something new. The Holy Ghost, by the angel of the Lord, is going to bust him out of prison. Hallelujah! That is something new, folks. Something new, because James did not escape. So it was new that Peter would escape. James did not escape the edge of the sword, but Peter escaped. That was something new. I'm going to tell you a story about that in a minute. You know, many years ago, I went somewhere where a young sister, it was many, many years ago, in the 70s, you know, when I was at Ferrer School of Science in Lagos, Nigeria, there was a sister that was trying to give her life to the Lord, but her family was satanists. So they sold her soul to the Lord, to the devil. And so they put her in this temple, and they were preparing her for sacrifice. They shaved her head. I went there, I tried to set her free. I couldn't do it. You know. And they had chains on her hands, chains on her, you know, around her, like a monkey, chains on her feet and everything. And I looked at her, I called her name, she didn't even recognize. They had wiped away her mind, preparing her for sacrifice. I tried everything I could. I even went second time with a man of God, you know, that I thought knew about these demonic things. I was only maybe 19 or 20 then. But because I refused to take off my shoes when I entered their synagogue, they said, I have to take off my shoes. I said, no. How am I going to take off my shoes in this devilish place? You know. They bundled me out of that place. Literally bundled me out of that place. They threw me out. They said, next time you come here, we're going to machete your head. True story, folks. And the gates of that compound was like 2 miles away from the main road. The gates of that thing was like 15 feet high. And they opened the gate and threw me out. And they said, if you come back next time, we will have your... And they showed me the machete. The other man, because he came from their side of the country, was trying to plead with them and so forth. They still don't release the young lady. So we left. The church continued to pray. Hallelujah. True story. This story reminds me of it. You know, I've told it before. The saints continued to pray. We didn't know what we were going to do. So I left the place. I went to the University of Ibadan in another city, maybe 100 miles or so away. I don't know how far it is. So I got admitted. I went there. I stayed in the hostel, you know, the dorm, or we call it hostel back those days. One day, I heard a knock on my door. And I was not on the ground floor. I was on the second or third floor. Heard a knock on my door, and I went and opened the door, and this young lady was standing right there. That was something new. And I said, how in the world did you get here? The last time I saw her, she didn't even remember who I was. Her mind was clear gone. And she told me this incredible story. And if it wasn't that I had read Acts chapter 12, I probably wouldn't be, I would have believed it, because I believe anything. Praise God. But she said, in the night. And she was being prepared for the sacrifice. There is a certain number of days that she had to be there. They were preparing her for sacrifice. I saw it myself. She had like 5 different chains. Chains on this one, chains here, chains on her leg, chains around her waist. You know, she looked like a monkey. She said this figure appeared of her in bright clothing. And the chains fell off her hands. The chains fell off her feet. The chains fell off her hip. And the figure said, follow me. And she followed. And the gates opened up by himself. Read Acts chapter 12. Now that was something new. I thought I had faith, because I was a man of faith, but a young man, nonetheless. But a young man of faith. I could believe God for anything. But that was something new. Not only did the angel, I knew it was an angel after she told the story. She didn't know what it was. She was in a trance. Followed the man. They went, and I've been to that place twice. It's like 2 miles from, you know, it's an occultic place 2 miles from the main road. When they got to the main road, he was following the whole time. The man put her in this public transport, gave instructions to the public transport, told the man where to bring to my dorm. Gave the man the girl didn't even know where I was. She didn't even know which school I went. She didn't even know which of the 6 or 7, you know, residential dormitories I was in. And when she got there, she didn't even know which room I was, let alone come to the 3rd floor where I was. And she was guided all the way to that place, you know, everything was taken care of. And he was instructed, when you get there, just knock. And I almost fell dead. That was something new. And we had experienced all kinds of things in Federal School of Science then. But that was something new. I remember also once when I got to Federal School of Science for the first time. I saw a group of people having Bible study. I went there because I wanted to be refreshed. And they were just talking some stuff, which I didn't care about. I said some other stuff, you know, stirred up some things and so forth. You know, because they were talking about revival. They said when the revival came on the day of Pentecost, and in those days, I like to cause trouble a little bit. I don't do that anymore now. So, you know, and I said, revival? That was my first day in the meeting. Revival? I said, no, there was no revival on the day of Pentecost. And everybody looked at me like, I said, that was the birth of the church. I said, you can't revive something that was never there. And after that, I didn't say anything. Everybody just, and then, you know, they just quieted me down and so forth. After the meeting, I left. After I left, some people followed me and said, bro, what was that all about? Will we hear more of that? I said, well, you want something new? You know, you're going to have to pay the price. And then something started. You know, we started a different fellowship because that particular group was called Scripture Union. They didn't believe anything. They believed the scriptures, and they, you know, they were good for bringing people to the cross and this stuff. But they didn't believe in the Holy Ghost. They didn't believe in speaking in tongues. They didn't believe in the charismatic gifts and all these things and so forth. So people started leaving that group, coming to the other group. Anyway, cut a long story short. One day, when we were in this other group, having our fellowship, we used to have a fellowship around in the campus, in a classroom that had, you know, glass windows and so forth. And every time we had a fellowship, there was no problem. There was nothing. It was just a normal fellowship. Just like you guys and all of us and me, we come to these services every time. It's a normal service. We just come, we do our thing, we go home. We used to do that, you know. But occasionally, something new happened. Occasionally. And after a while, it started happening more frequently. And what was it that happened? Well, we would just be there praising the Lord, doing our fellowship, and so forth. And all of a sudden, Holy Ghost, pillar of fire. And when that happened, the students of the school would be lining up outside. They didn't see the fire, but something was pulling them. They'd be lining up. They didn't do that when that didn't happen. They'd be lining up in the front of the windows, and they'd be looking. And one by one, every single last one of them would come inside that room. We did not stop the service. We did not address them. We were just doing our thing. Every single day, at first they came to mock. And then every single last one of them will come down, fall down, begin to cry for help. Many of them will receive deliverance. Some of them will receive the Holy Ghost right there and then. Begin to speak in tongues and prophesy. People who were just minutes ago standing outside trying to mock. That was something new. And so one day in one of those fellowships, I went to the bathroom. And there were two guys there. And they were hearing the singing. And one said to his fellow, "These SU people have started again." The other one said to him, "These people are not SU. These ones are fire." Hallelujah! And I said, "Yeah, that's what I'm talking about." You know, that was something new. Revival! All over the place. That was something new. One day, a man who was born deaf and dumb, he had this bicycle cart where he sold Samco chocolates, fan ice, and all these things. I remember his name was Sam because he sold Samco milk. And everybody from the school patronized him. He was the only one. And they would use sign language for what they wanted, change and all of that. One day, let's keep the noise down in the hallway, please. One day, this man came to the fellowship. This man that was born blind, I mean not blind, deaf and dumb. He came to the fellowship. And when the Holy Ghost descended, he ran out of that place shouting and singing and praising God. That was something new. The whole school, after that, the fellowship was too small. Because everybody knew this man, that he could never speak a word in his life. They said, "What happened?" "I went to that fellowship." That was something new. And every time we came to that fellowship, folks, we came with an expectation of something new. We never came with service as usual. Just come, do a few things, do a few ceremonial things, and then go home. You will get the same result if you keep doing the same thing. We need something new. What about Jesus? Hanging upon that cross. God using the life of one innocent person to save all the guilty people of the world. That was something new. And if you want to experience that today, now we've been coming to church. There are a lot of people here who may have been coming to church. Especially some of the young people, maybe just follow your parents to church. You need something new. If you're listening on television or whatever, the YouTube or whatever it is, you need something new. Now, let me tell you some things that we're going to do here. We're going to ask God for prayer. Pray, you know, and I'm going to tell you some things where and where we need something new. For you to experience the love and forgiveness of God, whereas you've been condemned and rejected, that is something new. If there's anybody here, you've been rejected, you've been condemned. John chapter 8, the woman was brought in the midst of adultery. She was condemned to die. You know? And Jesus said, "Let him among you that is without sin, let him be the first to cast a stone at her." That was something new. Because he was never hurt. What was to be was the woman was to be stoned to death. But for Jesus to come upon the scene and change all of that, that was something new. Hallelujah. Even for the church, we don't want to keep experiencing what has already been. We want to experience what has never been. What has never been. Just like Enoch experienced the translation. It has never been that anybody got translated and should not die. I want to experience something new. Every time I come to the service, here's also where you need something new. Redemption for you. When it is far too late. It's far too late. Your case has no solution. You're finished. God's redemptive power is something new. You can experience that even today. In a moment, I'm going to call the prayer line. Show me, Lord. This is my prayer. And I wrote this down last night. Show me, Lord, what I cannot explain. Show me, Lord, something new. I have seen God's power in the sanctuary. I told you a few things. I could tell you for hours. But we don't have that time today. But I want to see something new. I'm not even seeing the old anymore. But yet he said, forget the old things. I will do something new. Make me, Lord, into something that I cannot become. That's right. I cannot become that on my own. Make me into that, Lord. So then he gave power to become the sons of God. You cannot become a son of God on your own. You struggle. One day you are up. Another day you are down. People are struggling with the things that so easily beset them. Experience something new. You need grace. Because your life's been hurting. You've been hurting from rejection. From condemnation. Experience something new. Take me, Lord, to the place where I cannot reach. I have reached many places, folks. And I'm not talking about physical places. I'm talking about spiritual places. I have reached spiritual places. But Lord, take me somewhere that I cannot reach. Help me to experience something new. I want you to stand to your feet. Make me new again. Hallelujah. And if you are here this morning, this is only the beginning. If you want to experience something new, I want you to come. Come right here and kneel with me. Let us experience something new together. Oh, I have been saved. Oh, I speak with tongues. You need to experience something new because your life is just the same. Your life is just the same. From day to day, there's nothing different. There's nothing happening. You come to church every Sunday. You stand up even here and preach. You sing in the choir. You lead in the Sunday school. But your life is just the same. If you want to experience something new, you are confused and you are insane. People rejected you. They say you are not good enough. I want you to come and experience something new. Lord, do something new in my life. I want you to pray. Everybody say with me, Lord, make me new. Do something new with me again. You know, ladies and gentlemen, one time after Samson lost everything, he thought he still had the power, but it was gone. It was just a show. He had nothing left. There is a word for that, folks. It's called Ichabod. The glory has departed. The book of Revelation 3 and verse 2, he says, thou hast the name that thou livest, but you are dead. You are dead. You have a name, you have a fancy building. You come to church every Sunday, but you are dead. Le cabro shetere la bosa. Le crebo sondiri la bahandus kimaria. And the only thing that gives you excitement in your life is carnal things. And you are dead. Make me new again. Lord, help me to experience something new in the name of Jesus. And I want to pray even as a church. You know, you can experience it as an individual, but even as a church, not where we've been, not what we've done, not been there, done that, but something new. Something new. Behold, I do a new thing. And before it springs forth, I tell you, even as the Lord is doing right now, I will do a new thing in your life. But it begins with your obedience. You must surrender. You cannot let Jesus in and tell him you can't go into those rooms. Come on in. But that room there is locked. This room over here is locked. That's not going to work. You must give him the master key. Every room in your house, which is your life, let Jesus in. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. That's not a message for unbelievers, folks. It's a message to the church. Do you want to experience something new? And if you have never experienced the true joy of salvation, you were born and raised in the church, you follow your parents to church every Sunday, but come Monday, Tuesday, all the way to Saturday, it's something else. On Sunday, you dress up and come to church. On Monday to Wednesday to Saturday, you are no different from the world. You need something new. While you continue to pray, I'm going to go up here. If there's there's anybody in this place. And also those who are watching. You want to experience the Lord for the first time. And if you're already out in front kneeling, I want you to stand and come here. Make a bold declaration. You must have something new. Come closer. You want to experience something. I want you to lift your hands. Do something new in my heart. Of the mercy of the Lord, all of us have been experiencing mercy drops. Despite our disobedience, despite our unyieldedness, yet we have been experiencing mercy drops. I don't want mercy drops, Lord. I want a deluge. I want a deluge of your power. I don't want mercy drops, Lord. I want a deluge of your power. And when you get power, will it be for my glory, said the Lord? Do you want my power for my glory? Or do you want it for yours? Be not desirous of vain glory, the Bible says. All the glory belongs to the Lord. I want something new, Lord. And if your life has been messed up, like the pottery in the hands of the potter, he can make you again, anew, into a new Lord. You say, well, I wish I could take it all back. I made so many mistakes. I feel condemned. I feel there is nowhere to go. Redemption for you when it is far too late. That is something new. The redemptive power of God to take even dry bones and bring them back to life. The dryness in your life and in my life. Lord, I must experience something new. I must experience something new. When a 2-hour service feels to you like it's been 6 hours, you need something new. That's, you need revival. But you can watch a movie for 6 hours. I don't know what they call those movies that just run and run. Just keep watching them. or come to an old-fashioned Holy Ghost prayer, a knock-down Holy Ghost prayer, fast and pray, oh no, I must experience something new. If the only thrill that you've been having in your life is when you go out and do some of these things, they're not necessarily simple things. Go out to places, go out to do this, and go out to do that. That's the only thrill you have in your life. You need something new. I want everybody to say, Lord, make me new again. I want to tell you that these disciples who were in the upper room, after they were threatened and they felt like they were about to lose their testimony, they came back to the Lord in chapter 4. And the place was shaking together again where they were assembled. And they were all filled again with the Holy Ghost. You say, well, I've been baptized since 1974 or 1982. I can speak in tongues and I can do this. You need something new. We need to experience something that is yet to be. Something that has never been. But somebody said in their heart, he said, well, there's nothing new under the sun. Something new is what the Lord said I would do. There is something new under the sun. You will not know it until you experience it. If anybody hasn't experienced it, they'll say, there's nothing new under the sun. Well, that's before you met the Redeemer. That's before you met the one that is able to take things that are far gone. Something that is far too late. Even people that were dead and buried in the days of Noah, when they were waiting and the flood destroyed them all, Jesus going back, preach to them. From captivity, captive. Led captivity captive. Whoop the devil from pillar to post. And got the king of hell and death. That is something new. Forgiveness and the love of God. When you thought you were no good. That is something new. I want us to join hands, those of you who are here. Let's join hands. I don't need any music right now. So if you want to be in the prayer, come and join the prayer too if you want to do that. Don't miss out just because you're on stage. I want us to pray. Jesus said, in the book of Matthew chapter 5, I think it's either verse 6 or verse 7, he said, look, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be what? For they shall be filled. Those that hunger and thirst, that's you, and you are in this circle, I want you to kneel down with me and say, Lord, you are holding your brother on one hand, you are holding your sister on the other hand. You are holding your brother and your sister, you are holding your sister and your brother, you are holding your sister and sister, or brother and brother. But it is you. I want you to pray as an individual, and then we're going to pray as a church. Lord, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of something new. Kneeling before you, Lord, because I need something new. I am tired of the status quo. I am tired of just coming to church week after week for the same thing. Do something new. In this church and with this church, Lord, help us to experience something that we've never experienced before. Something that we have never experienced. Do something new, Lord. Something new that we have never experienced in this church. That people will begin to come from the street and come and fall down without anyone preaching to them, and begin to be delivered by the power of God. That is something new. We haven't experienced that in this church, Lord. We need something new. The power that is able to set somebody free, that was being prepared for sacrifice. The power to make the gates open by themselves. That was something new. I need something new in my life. You know, the angel of the Lord, he knew my name once. He even gave my name to the man who was to bring her there. But I haven't experienced anything like that in years. I need something new, Lord. I need something new. I need something new, Lord. Wanted for the water brooks my soul, longeth after thee. Rashid Alaba. You are. Surrender, Lord. I want every one of us, let's just surrender. Surrender the thing that is keeping you back from experiencing His glory. What is it? What is it that is keeping you back? Is it the rat race? What is it? Is it the condemnation of others? Is it what people say that...
I surrender all. I surrender. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I these people worship me with vain lips, but their heart is far from me, said the Lord. Turn and rend your heart before me, said the Lord. For the Lord searches the rain. Behold, saith the Lord, I have taken away your sins as far as the east is from the west. So far has the Lord removed our transgressions from us. Wherefore, arise, O my soul. Shake thyself from the dust. Loose thyself from the bands around your neck. Receive the liberty of the sons of God. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage, for whom the Lord sets free is free indeed. Lord, prepare me, and you are pure and holy. I stand through with thanksgiving. We are living, set you free for. If that's your prayer, sing it again with me. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Holy, make me pure, Lord, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a slave, set you out. And behold, I will do a new thing, and it will spring forth, saith the Lord. And shall you not know it? I will do a new thing if you will seek me with all your heart. You will find me. And I will meet you in the place that I've chosen to put my name there. I will do a new thing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.